Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
Shaking Mega Maniacs, it's Monday, June 1st, and we just finished watching tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw. It was a night of Roman Reigns. We got to see this guy not one, not two, but three matches defending his spot in the Money in the Bank matchup. Dean Ambrose still has possession of the WWE title after taking it from Seth Rollins last night at Elimination Chamber. Not officially, but he took it anyway. We saw action from New Day. Ryback was there. It was a fun show tonight, I gotta say. I'm pretty excited to talk about it with everyone here and all of you out there listening as well, because this is the most interactive post-Raw experience available. There's a number of ways for you guys to get involved, and I'll tell you guys about those in just a moment. But first, I want to tell everyone out there how you can support the show to continue it going on. Number one way that you can help the Raw post-show here at Mega Powers Radio is by supporting Mega Powers Radio on Patreon. Patreon is a great service. You can basically subscribe a monthly amount that you donate to your favorite artist or whatever project it is. We're on there. Smarkout Moments on there. Fanboys Anonymous is on there. All your favorite things, I'm sure, have a Patreon page. It's a really great way to support artists. And you could do as little as $1 a month. It'll help us survive and subside the costs that we have with hosting and a Blog Talk Radio account, because it piles up real fast. We pay these out of pocket. We don't have corporate sponsors. We're not filled with ads all over the place. This is the only kind of advertising I really give you guys. So anything you can give to support us is fantastic. And it's the first of the month, so that means we have had the donations come out for last month. And I can tell you guys, tonight's episode is being brought to you by Robert Galera, our first Patreon supporter, aka Awesome Piano Man, longtime fan, pretty much the number one fan, I would say, as long as I can remember, for Smarkout Moment and this show. So thank you, Robert Galera, for your donation, helping the show continue going. If you cannot support us via money, though, I understand, times are tight, not everyone has spare coin. Please support us by listening to us live here every Monday on Mega Powers Radio following Raw, or by subscribing to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube. While you're there, give us a rating and review. Help us climb the charts. Help other people find us. And also invite people you know who you think might like us to listen to us as well. And as I said, during this show, you can get yourself involved. We love hearing what everyone has to say about tonight's edition of Raw and any fallout from Elimination Chamber as well. You can join the show in a number of ways. We have the phone lines, which will be opening up around 11:30, but we already have a number of callers waiting in queue. If you want to be the first one, you got to call early. But if you want to get yourself in queue to get here quickly, area code 760-512-7247 is the number to get yourself in line. Like I said, around 11:30, we'll be opening those up. Sooner you call, sooner you get on. You can also join us via Skype. Same method. Click the Skype button. Get yourself in line. If you're afraid to show your voice, we got other ways to get involved as well. We got the chat room on our Blog Talk Radio page. Shout out to the people who got there early to be hanging out there. Ferris419, Silent Wind of Doom, and Wazili. And we also have Twitter, at Raw Post Show, if you are a tweeting person. And of course, our official Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs, always open for your comments as well. In the meantime, we're going to get things kicked off with the hosts here. So let me introduce all of us. Person's voice you've been hearing so far is me. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. With me tonight, I have the main man of Smarkout Moment, Mr. Tony Mango. What's shaking, Tony?
Not too much. Big thanks to Robert Galera for the Smarkout Moment donation as well. As you said, one of our number one fans, as far as I can remember, too. Mm-hmm. So, Awesome Piano Man, living up to the name, awesome.
Indeed. And a piano man.
Yes. He's living up to the piano part.
Also with us is the main man of Wago Rants. And I don't know what to credit you for anymore, but it's Steven Wago.
Hey guys, what's going on? And thank you to Awesome Piano Man, just because he's been awesome, and I think he's the only member of our audience that's had an outro about him.
Yeah, you know what? I think that he might be.
No, you know what? We did do that Alan Lou Sleech outro.
Who?
You know, do-do-do-do-do-do. That's technically about someone.
Yeah, but they're retarded.
Let's go ahead and get talking about Raw here, guys. I thought this overall was a fun show. It was a little long at certain parts, but I think that's just, again, this three-hour format. That aside, I think it's a very fun show, a very good follow-up to what I thought was an excellent special event last night with Elimination Chamber. I want to ask you guys, what's the number one thing you took away from tonight? Tony?
Man, I don't know. I mean, I thought this was an okay Raw, but it wasn't anything special, and there's not too much that stands out to me. But I guess the number one thing out of everything is that they're going to really turn back the clock and push Roman Reigns.
I don't know if that's turning back the clock. I'm pretty sure this was the plan all along.
I don't know. I mean, the past couple of weeks, he's been sort of pushed aside. I mean, he didn't even wrestle a match at Elimination Chamber. So now they're, to borrow a phrase from Jumpin' Jeff, they're going full force.
All part of a plan. Maybe you don't see it, but it will be revealed in time.
Yep.
Wago, what's the one thing you took away?
I'm very much all for what they did tonight with Roman Reigns. I think he had three solid outings. Not all the matches hit it at the park, but I don't feel that he had a bad match tonight. They chose to do this in the right crowd. If they had done this in a smarky arena, then this would have been terrible. This would have been a terrible episode. So I'm just happy with the direction they're taking with Roman Reigns. They cooled him off for a while, let the smarks get over it. And now they're putting him in the position that, to be quite honest, he deserves and is most suited for.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about these segments. Going down with the first one, which of course it's an opening segment of Raw, so what else could it be but an authority segment? But I can actually be positive. I actually thought, as far as opening authority segments go, this was great. The authority comes out looking very pissed off. Every single one of them is just wearing a total scowl on their face. Of course, because of the events last night, Seth Rollins does not have his title around his waist. Stephanie looks like her dress is covered in barf, so I'm sure that's why she's upset. Somebody got sick all over.
I thought it was camouflage.
Don't wear camouflage when you're in the middle of public. It doesn't hide you from anything.
Especially that barf.
Was she trying to blend in with barf?
Triple H calls out Dean Ambrose to come out and give the title back, but doesn't get Dean Ambrose. He gets Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns basically bait Seth Rollins to give Dean Ambrose a rematch for that title, and he does so. It's going to happen at Money in the Bank, and it's going to be a ladder match, which is awesome. Money in the Bank event is known for having a ladder match, and if you're not going to have multiple Money in the Banks, which I'd prefer, have one for a title. Cool. Seth loses his shit and just goes on this whole, like, I don't need you, I don't need the authority, I don't need JJ, I don't need this big red retard, I could beat Ambrose all on my own. It was an excellent breakdown by him. He storms out, dropping the mic before he does. Very awesome. And then Triple H tells Roman that because you came out here and fucked everything up, I'm going to be making a match for you where you have to put your Money in the Bank spot on the line. And Triple H drops the mic too, and he's much more obvious about it, like holding it. Kind of reminds you how CM Punk used to drop the mic.
You sure they weren't dropping it just because of the feedback? They wanted to try to fix him?
That could be that too.
Maybe they just wanted like the feedback of the mic crashing to hit like Kevin Dunn's ears.
Horrendous technical issues during this first segment. Stephanie sounded like a robot at one point. As a technical guy, if I had to guess what happened here is they had multiple mics on too loud at the same time, so you're getting feedback from multiple mics picking up Steph at different rates, and it was bad.
See, I have a different take on this. I think Kevin Dunn's beaver teeth were resting on the buttons too hard, and and that's what spiked the volume up, and that's why we got a feedback. In fact, I think the only way to remedy this is to fire Kevin Dunn and throw rocks at him.
Well, no, see, I have the solution to this. I watched Angry Beavers when I was a young person. And according to them, you're supposed to chew wood. And that's how you keep your teeth down to a proper size.
Hmm.
So, oh.
Yeah. So maybe we can get our Angry Beavers expert, Silent Wind of Doom, onto this. Who knew he actually had office? Silent Wind of Doom, our resident Angry Beavers expert. I'm going to need you to get in touch with Kevin Dunn to make sure this never happens again.
Yeah, put that on your resume, Silent Wind of Doom. On the Angry Beavers expert for the Mega Powers Review Monday Night Raw post show.
Gotta
they should do
somewhere.
A segment where Kevin Dunn is doing something like dressed up as a beaver and he's just like building shit backstage and Ron Simmons could come out and just be like, damn.
I get it. Do you have any other Kevin Dunn jokes?
No, I'm done.
Lawless and Vince dies, you're going to lose your job.
Any actual thoughts about this segment?
Oh, yeah, the segment. It was actually very good, surprisingly. When the Authority come out, normally I want to shed tears because it's the same shit each week, but it was to the point. And who'd have thunk it? If a promo is shortened to the point, it's a lot more tolerable. So they accomplished everything they needed to do tonight. They continued building the friction with Ambrose and Rollins. They're teasing the dissension of the Authority. And on top of that, they're setting up Roman Reigns to win the Money in the Bank.
Yep.
So, question. You said we're seeing the teasing of the dissension of the Authority. And you think back, this Authority angle has been going on a long, long, long time. We've seen it evolve. They've had members come and go. So even if we see Seth leave, I don't know if that necessarily means we see the entire Authority disintegrate. And
I couldn't agree more with you. I definitely think that's the case. I think it's just going to be another evolution.
Yeah, and I don't know who they follow up with. If I had to take a guess, Kevin Owens.
It would make the most sense right now. Triple H. He's a Triple H boy directly from NXT. He's
shit. They could bring up a whole pack of those NXT guys to be like their new thing.
Shit, I'd be okay with them using the NXT 5.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. I mean, you have to wait a little bit because you got a Tommy injured right now. And how would you really like get Zayn and Owens? I guess you could say money talks. Mm-hmm. And they're able to put their differences aside for money. And then you could always tease that, too. And eventually Sami Zayn can do like the Daniel Bryan thing where he turns to the good side. Yeah, this can all work. Never mind.
Owens is good enough. On his own, he could just do it.
Yeah, he's one of the few actual guys that you can position where he doesn't need to be like a Seth Rollins, where he needs so much protection to be taken legitimate. Kevin Owens is the type of guy that's already legitimate on his first night, so he's actually perfect for the next evolution.
Fantastic. Well, as I said, Roman Reigns is being put into a match where he has to defend his Money in the Bank spot, and he has to face King Barrett. Very formidable opponent. I mean, recent winner of the King of the Ring tournament. Honestly, a guy I'm surprised isn't in the Money in the Bank matchup. Actually, I believe our also host Sean Walker believed that he was. He just assumed he was. This was actually a fantastic match. These two guys had very good chemistry. They went out there and had, I think it was about a 15-minute match. They really great throughout this. Reigns does this awesome deadlift into a sitting powerbomb. Match ends with Barrett using a raking of the eyes and going for a bullhammer, but Reigns ducks him, hits the spear for the pinfall. Roman Reigns retains his spot in the Money in the Bank. Or does he? Because as he's leaving, he gets passed by Triple H and Stephanie, who tell him that, oh, by the way, you're also going to have to defend that spot against Mark Henry. And as Triple H is walking away, he slyly starts singing, "Somebody gonna get the wig split." I love Triple H when he has these cocky little lines. Like, I remember when he came in, was it for John Cena or somebody? And he came in like he was just doing like little punches in the air, like, "Hey, buddy," and like just like drop some bad news on him while he was doing it. It was fantastic. Yeah. Well, you guys got anything to add about this first match?
Good match. I like these two.
Good match, and I feel like it's one of those ones I might need to go back and rewatch because I probably didn't give it the attention it deserved. I've been conditioned to expect bad Roman Reigns television matches, or at least mediocre. So, for whatever reason, I tuned out and then realized, oh, they're actually putting something decent on, and got into it about halfway through. Great outing. Barrett didn't look weak at all in it, so I'm perfectly fine with that. If anything, it made him look stronger than he has done in a while. And Roman Reigns comes out needing to do what he needs to do.
The only thing I'm disappointed in, though, is that there's nothing going on for Barrett. Like, I get that, you know, he was trying to earn his spot into Money in the Bank. And, you know, between the two of them, Reigns is the one that should get the priority spot. But there's no, like, I don't know, like, secondary option for him. Like, you've got the people that lost the Elimination Chamber last night, Ziggler and Sheamus, they're in the Money in the Bank. You've got Ryback, who we'll talk about a little bit later. He's got something that's set up. Barrett, he's kind of getting screwed over a little bit here. And it's a shame, because all the truth is fine. But
from a booking, like from a logical booking standpoint, what qualifies Ziggler and Sheamus but not Wade Barrett?
Fuck if I know. What qualifies Kofi Kingston?
And also, something that's bugging me, and I don't know if it's just me being petty. All right, so there was a lot of guys that wrestled in an Elimination Chamber last night. They landed on steel and got their bodies torn up. Why aren't any of them showing the after effects of that?
Those are good questions, and I don't really have answers for either of them. I have an answer for Kofi Kingston, actually, the one that Tony posed, because he is a winner. He won last night. So he has that over Sheamus and Dolph Ziggler.
So did the two other members of New Day.
Yeah.
So why does Kofi get it, not them?
Someone's going to defend the titles.
Yeah.
Someone's going to get their wig split.
And if Kofi wins, they're all Money in the Bank.
Yeah, to see they share.
Yeah, I don't know. I would look at that and be like, you know, who, like, out of these would have been the one that gets it? Well, you know, maybe have the three of them decide or something like that. Like, I don't know. There should have been, like, some kind of a reference to, like, we decided to go with Kofi, you know, we were given an opportunity, or, you know,
I mean. Here's the logic. If they're technically all going to be Money in the Bank, then they're probably like, well, Kofi wants to go with the fucking ladder match. Okay, do it. I ain't gonna get fucking torn up in there.
Remember, each one of them has, like, kind of, like, their force that they use. You know, like, Xavier's the brains, Big E's the power, and Kofi is the speed and the agility. Yeah. So he's definitely the best tool to enter into the ladder match.
Yes, I mean, the best track record of these ladder matches.
Clearly, when we look at it, as WWE wanted Kofi to do some flips and shit. I mean, you know, storyline purposes, I would have liked some kind of an explanation. Kind of the same as why Mark Henry and King Barrett and R-Truth don't get thrown in. Those three wrestled, and you look at Ziggler and Sheamus, the hell, you know. The only thing I can think of is that they lasted longer.
Nope, I don't buy it. They gotta do better than that. And especially if Dolph Ziggler is gonna wear his hair like he does in the damn promo picture for that match.
The only reason I mentioned that whole injury thing, it would have been a lot better for Roman Reigns to beat Wade Barrett, and if Wade Barrett's bandaged up, Barrett looks a lot less worse too.
I agree. No, you're right. There is a very low rate of selling these days anymore. The only person we even saw like selling like that recently has been Ryback, and that's only because he was legit injured.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure he wasn't selling anything. He was just in pain.
So this is how CM Punk felt.
So we have an interview. Byron Saxton interviewing Nikki Bella, interrupted by Paige, who says that she wants a title match. Nikki accepts, but says that she thinks the match should be tonight, and then they awkwardly stare at each other for 20 seconds.
That was weird. And you know what else is weird, too? Do my ears deceive me, or did Nikki refer to him as Byron? She's like, well, you know, Byron. And I was just like, huh, who's interviewing? Because I wasn't paying attention at the time. Who the fuck is Byron? Odd emphasis on the wrong syllable. Fucking Byron.
Wait, Byron was the guy interviewing tonight? Mm-hmm. Wow, you know when he's on screen, I really face him out.
It's just kind of like, oh, there's a microphone when somebody's talking.
Really, it is. Like, when Renee Young's on, like, we've been giving Renee a lot of credit recently. But when Renee's on screen, you go, yo, Renee's on screen. I didn't even notice Byron Saxton was
there. It's just like, wow, the microphone's floating in the air. That's cool. Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Nikki Bella is cutting an interview by herself. And now Paige is standing there and they're staring. And good old Byron is in the background, just kind of like 10, 9. awkward, though. And I don't know, I was getting a heel vibe from her, and they kind of, I don't know, they did that again a little bit later on. And I don't know, if they are going to just turn them heel, then the fuck.
I don't know if I believe it was a heel. It's it was smart tactics. We'll come to the Divas match a little bit later. First, we got to talk about the Intercontinental title situation that happened tonight. We had Ryback freshly won the title last night at Elimination Chamber, and an unexpected victory by many, I gotta say. Except me. I predicted it. Told y'all. But, nonetheless, Big Guy is the Intercontinental Champion. Very happy for him. He comes out and cuts a short promo to the crowd, basically thanking them for always supporting him and believing him, and that he's proud to be the Intercontinental Champion. He has a match against The Miz, or at least he's scheduled to defend that title. But before the match actually gets started, it's interrupted by the Big Show. Random. He sort of confronts Ryback and holds his fist out like he's about to punch him, but then he turns and punches at The Miz and says, if anyone's going to beat you, Ryback, it's going to be me. So it looks like we got our big first feud for Ryback here. He's going to be going against Big Show, or he's going to be defending that title against Big Show, presumably at Money in the Bank. Good. Cool. I'm into this. And in the end, mm-hmm. It's going to result in Ryback having a really cool spot where he lifts up Big Show for a shell shock, and I presume keeping that title.
Better.
This could be very much the year of Ryback. I'm really into his shtick right now, and this feud, I don't know what about it intrigues me so much, but seeing them face to face, I was just like, you know what? This could work. Big Show had a good line. He said, so you're the big guy, huh? Well, you ain't got nothing on the Big Show. I like it. It's just two big fucking dudes that want to kick the shit out of each other and just to prove that they're the larger, bulkier ball of testosterone that's running through the WWE. So I'm really cool with it. It makes more sense in a lot of feuds, and it's so simple.
Not going to lie, I clenched my butthole for a bit because I was pretty sure Miz might have won that match if that match actually happened.
Yeah, I was worried too. Done it before
where Miz comes back and he just wins the Intercontinental title right away.
Yeah, that's his go-to thing. It's like, and man, it'd be so sad to see it over the Ryback because congratulations to Ryback because that guy deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's got a lot of shit after the CM Punk interview, but he's a guy that's constantly working to better himself, doing promos on the road, and just look at his body of work in the actual ring. It's so much better to that first couple of years he had. So, fucking congratulations to the dude, and I hope he gets a long run.
You know, I'm glad that they're doing this too with a big guy, literally, and somebody who's got, like, you know, credibility behind him too, because Ryback would need somebody like that. If he was just facing, like, it sounds horrible to say because I like him, but Fandango, nobody would give a shit. You would look at John Cena facing a Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens is somebody who is more developmental than main roster. And that match not only means more, but it also seems like John Cena is up against a much better opponent. And then you would look at Ryback, the other half of the mid-card, and he'd be fighting Fandango. It would just wouldn't seem right. And Fandango is great and all, but he doesn't have what Big Show brings. So if Big Show is going to be the one that takes the first hit for Ryback, awesome.
It's kind of where he should be at this point of his career as well.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that I just kind of like with the whole Big Show situation too, Big Show's last real good feud was against Roman Reigns. So the next guy that Ryback's going to beat is a guy that Roman Reigns is struggling with. And it's kind of that whole, I'm not sure how to explain it, but it kind of sets the tone that maybe Ryback's someone on that level.
I see what you're saying. We have Kevin Owens out. And this guy just displays once again how fantastic he is and how masterful he is at causing emotions, and his timing is just impeccable with everything he says. He tells a story about how he beat John Cena last night in one of the most amazing debuts, but he just can't feel on top of the world because his kid, his son, is upset because John Cena lost. And the crowd just went insane at that point. You could instantly hear like the battling crowds, the people who want to support Kevin Owens, but the people who are caught up in the fact that this kid is so behind John Cena and they want to support, like, oh, come on, this kid loves this guy. Cena eventually comes out, follows up greatly, has a really impassioned speech, even gives this amazingly warm shout out to this child fighting cancer in the crowd. Cena gets super pumped up, takes his shirt off, and Kevin Owens walks away. What went down?
Yeah, it did. And I wasn't actually too happy with the fans tonight. You know when you just wish they'd shut up and let a guy talk? I wish they'd calm the fuck down, because I felt like his promo would have felt so much better if they reacted to the sentences then just instead of just cheering the whole way, like the whole way through it. No, he had some really good one-liners too.
I disagree. Like, again, it was that one line and the crowd just broke out. And it felt to me like that scene in a movie where, like, they're in a courtroom or something like that, and someone just drops that one bombshell line, and all of a sudden everything's just like, rabble, 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 and everyone's just, like, screaming, and there's just so much tension, and everybody's pissed. Like, I thought that added so much more to the moment.
Why the fuck is Kevin Owens still not, like, on the roster page? Jesus. But, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I just felt like his promo, like, for a TV audience, I think it would have felt better if we could actually hear what he said a little more. I was struggling to hear.
I like this segment. I thought that Kevin Owens, I wanted him to fight Cena, but that's just because I like Kevin Owens so much. And one of my favorite things we'll talk about with the whole Elimination Chamber review stuff is I really, really like how Kevin Owens won legit. And I don't know. I get a little bit tired of heels that, I get it. They are the bad guys. They're the cowardly people a lot of the time and stuff. But I like it when a heel can actually be an asshole and not a cheater or a coward or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah. And I don't know. I kind of think like in that position, Kevin Owens, he was in a weird situation. Like that promo, it started out great. And then Cena came out, and Cena seemed almost like a heel. It was like, hey, fuck you, buddy. You beat me for the title, and I would have given you the championship, which he never would have fucking done. But now you're not a man, and it's like, well, he's not saying anything that would indicate that whatsoever. Like, he's just talking about, I don't like how my kid likes John Cena. I'm the guy that backed up what he said. John Cena's just a fucking kind of like a joke. He wasn't like making excuses and stuff where it would be like, oh, be a man and stand up for yourself or something like that. And fuck you, he's doing the total opposite.
Cena's promo just felt so like an attack on Kevin Owens tonight. He had like a Jeff moment where he was like, fuck you, you're not the real JD. Yeah. Except in this time it was, fuck you, you hate kids with cancer.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. It was just like, because you're an asshole. And you know what? There's a kid with cancer and I don't fucking like you. Holy shit, Kevin Owens did not say whatsoever that, like, he's mad at his kid and wants to beat his kid or something, or, like, all kids are a bunch of jackasses, especially that one with the cancer, that little queer or something. Like, he didn't say anything bad. Like, he was just saying, hey, remember how I said I was going to beat Cena? And then I did? Awesome, huh? And it's just like, kids got cancer, and you're an asshole, and I would have given you the title, and fuck you, let's fight. No? Okay.
In his defense, I think the line that set John Cena off is when Kevin Owens accused John Cena of just getting behind some kind of catchphrase and then not backing it up.
Maybe, but I don't know. It was still kind of awkward. Like
from the moment John Cena came out, he held his towel out and he was like, that's not just a catchphrase, ran down to the ring.
I'm wondering how much of this interplay is actually scripted, because a lot of it seems too natural. Like, it seems too natural for it to be scripted. And I know Cena likes to throw a few odd book. So I don't know what it. I don't know if these guys just have chemistry or if there's actually letting them go ahead and do what they want to do.
I don't remember if it was Sean or if it was Drew, but somebody in our chat said that the kid's a plant. What if that was John Cena throwing the curveball?
John Cena was talking to my plant.
Yeah. Backstage, John Cena's talking to somebody else, you know, like Zack Ryder or something like that, and he's like, yo,
keep paying attention to the promo I'm going to cut later. I've got this awesome curveball that's going to throw Kevin Owens for a fucking loop. And Kevin Owens is out there and he's just like, here's my promo about my kid and whatever. Oh, you got to be fucking kidding me, bro. I had a kid with cancer, you asshole.
Kevin Owens did look really defeated after that. Like, he was like, dude, come on.
Yeah,
dude,
what the fuck am I supposed to say at this point?
Yeah, it was like, instead, he didn't have a reaction, so he just left. It was like, fucking brought a kid with cancer, damn it.
Right. Like, WWE, the way that they repackage different promos for their, like, pre-match interview kind of things and stuff like that, it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if they showed the kid and then it's like Kevin Owens being like, I'm going to beat you. Just make him seem like the most evil person in the fucking world.
Somehow they, like, manipulate the video to make it look like he gave the kid a pop-up powerbomb.
Yeah, like the Randy Orton vines.
Best part about seeing the replay of that pop-up powerbomb is it's so cool in slow motion. Mm-hmm. How he just, like, quickly tucks his arms around and drives the fucker into the ground. God damn, Kevin Owens is a shit.
An important thing to note about that victory is that not only does it put Kevin Owens over, in the past 3 weeks, it's put that pop-up powerbomb over so much. And last week, Tony, you complained about how they did the same thing 2 weeks in a row by having him laid out with that pop-up powerbomb. Last night, one pop-up powerbomb. That's all it took. One. And Cena was down for three. He's taken five rock bottoms during matches and gotten up. But one pop-up powerbomb. All he needed.
Didn't he take two?
Yeah, he used to.
When did he do another one?
Earlier in the match, and Cena kicked out of it.
When?
What a fucking, like, match!
He kicked out of the pop-up powerbomb, and then a little bit afterward, Kevin Owens kicked out of the AA.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
Yeah, it did.
No, it didn't.
It did.
No, he did.
I'm pretty sure he kicked out of five pop-up
powerbombs.
In a row.
You see, Happy Pope, Sean says this too.
I think you guys are confusing a different move for it. Are you confusing the time where he did that package flip-over thingamabob?
No. Oh man, my ass was tightened when he went. I was like, "Oh shit, he's gonna pile drive Cena."
What's up with your assholes tonight? You guys are both just like, "Oh my god, I almost shit when this happened."
I made the first reference. I don't know why he pulled it out.
Actually, I used he that twice in the last. I've used that phrase twice in the last couple days. I don't know what the hell's going on.
You sure it was twice? It wasn't just once.
No, it was about five times.
Five times combo?
Yeah, you beat me to it.
Well, speaking of fans, we should go ahead and open up our phone lines. We're like 10 minutes past the clock. Sorry, folks. We're going to open up our phones. If you want to get yourself in line, get your voice heard here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Number to dial is area code 760-512-7247 or press the Skype icon at the top of the page. And of course, you can join us via chat, Twitter as well. Twitter's been pretty quiet tonight. Chat room's still scrolling nicely, though. Shout out to the folks in there. Awesome Piano Man. Getting us a little late. You missed my shout out to you at the start of the show. Thank you so much for donating, dude. If you get a chance, go back to the archive. I give you a very heartfelt shout out there. Not quite as heartfelt as John Cena's shout out to the cancer kid. But Ferris419 is there as well. Chaotic said it went to Doom in Wazili.
Look at Peyton setting the phone lines this late. It's almost like you wouldn't take phone calls from 10:30 or something.
Okay. That's not the area code I don't take phone calls from. What are you talking about? So we're going to take our first phone call from the 609 area code. Caller from 609. You're live on the Raw Post Show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jamel. What's up, guys?
Hey, Jamel. What's shaking, dude? What'd you think of Raw tonight?
I thought it was pretty good. Nothing really stood out to me other than the John Cena Kevin Owens promo. But everything else was fairly pedestrian. Nothing was horribly offensive.
Well, it's good to not be offended, but the important thing is, are you getting excited for Money in the Bank since we're officially on the road to that? And did you feel a satisfactory follow-up to everything that happened after Elimination Chamber last night?
I'm pretty excited for Money in the Bank. I'm not sure who else is going to be added to the Money in the Bank match. Mm-hmm. I thought King Barrett was automatically in, but for some reason, Kofi Kingston is in, which is awkward.
Does royalty have no weight anymore? Shame.
Say that again?
Does royalty have no weight anymore? He is a king. You think that would automatically earn him into the match?
Nope. King of the Ring means nothing.
How about Dean Ambrose running off with the title?
Oh, I just think that's funny. I don't really have much to say about it, except it's pretty funny.
All right. What any other thoughts you have about Raw?
I don't know. Really, really, it's good that Roman Reigns, you know, had his matches, and the Kevin Owens and John Cena promos was great. Really, really, it was a pretty good Raw. Nothing really stood out, but everything was pretty good.
Well, if you had to say, what was the high point and the low point, the best part and the worst part of the show tonight?
The high point is definitely the John Cena and Kevin Owens promo. That was a great promo. Great job by both men.
And the worst?
The low point is... Oh, yeah, low point... Probably the Divas match.
Oh.
Went too into it.
All right, Jamel, thank you very much for calling us. You have a good night. Always welcome to call in again here on Mega Powers Radio. Anyone else out there wishing to call in, area code 760-512-7247. Once again, is that number. Get yourself in line. Get heard. In the meantime, let's return to our coverage of tonight's show. We had the New Day coming out to the ring, Tony's favorite act in WWE right now, I would say, cutting a promo about Kofi Kingston being in the Money in the Bank. And when he wins it, he's going to cha-ching be money.
How do you not love New Day?
It's a register. You see what I did there?
It's so great. I love this fucking team.
This wasn't even my favorite thing New Day did tonight.
What was your favorite?
Sonics.
Nick Shakes.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Shakes. This was fun. What wasn't quite as fun is that we had a match with Kofi Kingston gets Dolph Ziggler.
Hey, you ever seen this match before over the past 10 years?
You mean like for the Intercontinental title?
Or the U.S. title? Or both?
Or these guys on a tag team together?
Or on opposite teams, especially at Survivor Series?
Terrible, terrible booking. I mean, Kofi's getting no momentum. I don't know how anyone's going to believe in him when he beats Brock Lesnar in Japan.
Oh, see, there you go. That's the surprise, you know. He's going to win Money in the Bank, and Lesnar's just going to win the title just to get cashed in on again by Kofi Kingston.
In Japan.
Yeah.
This is all going to tie in time just for Japan.
That way they could steal people from New Japan Pro Wrestling, too.
Oh, God damn it.
Keep this going.
So Dolph Ziggler, man, has this guy been falling out of favor with a lot of people. It's not just us. I've been seeing lots of Dolph Ziggler hate springing up around. And I'm not going to say I hate Dolph Ziggler, but I think they've been making a lot of questionable decisions with him, most notably with his sense of style. And even this pairing with Lana, just they don't look right together coming out. You know, like something isn't gelling there. Maybe Lana needs to change her clothes or something and it'll be better, but I'm not feeling it.
It's definitely their look. I still love Ziggler. I still am a huge fan of him. I would love for him to be pushed to the main event, but he looks ridiculous. I don't know what this whole hippie thing is going on with all the denim and the whatever the fuck else he's like wearing, jackets and shit.
I think he's supposed to be like awesome 90s is like his thing.
We started
awesome 90s
going,
man.
Yeah.
We started going, why does he look like a hippie douchebag? And then he's got, why does he still look like a hippie douchebag?
Why does he look like an even douchier hippie?
Yeah, it's just continuously got worse. And, I mean, to be honest, the reason why people are falling out of favor with him is not just this. He's been pushed to the moon and dropped really hard repeatedly. There's only so many times you're going to get invested in this stop and start push. People have just given up. And unless they do something very different with his gimmick, which, let's face it, they've never really changed up his gimmick outside of him leaving the Spirit Squad. So, I don't know what's next for him. It's definitely not Lana. Couldn't give a fuck about that. So, shit.
Wago. Remember around, like, December when he was getting one of those start and stop pushes?
I bought into it.
And you were like, I don't know, man. This one feels different.
You know what? It's going to be that. They did such a good job of doing it that when they stopped, they killed all faith I had in him.
So we've been saying for a while, though, that Lana needs to go back to having the long hair. And I think that'll definitely help. Right now, she still looks exactly like she did with Rusev. So, of course, she's not going to look right next to Ziggler, you know?
You know what she'll look better doing? Begging Rusev for forgiveness. Do you see how sad he was tonight?
Oh my god.
I know. What a, you know, what a horrible human being to not just forgive that sweet potato. You should have heard Dane last night, good friend of the show, Dane Quinn, when Rusev was announced that he wasn't going to be a part of it. He was just like, oh, fuck, man. You know, Rusev's not even here. He's injured. And Lana's being a bitch. You can't. Like, just. I agree with Dane. Come on, Lana. You got to forgive that guy. He's like a big teddy bear. He's a broken man.
He doesn't know any better.
No. Well, broken leg, broken spirit.
Let's get back to the match at hand here. Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston. Dumb match. Dolph Ziggler wins with a quick roll-up pin. New Day attacks him after the match. Primetime players come out for the save and sets up tag match player. New Day against Dolph Ziggler and the primetime players. Six-man tag. Titus O'Neil looking like a biggest monster throughout this whole match, just picking up people and tossing them around like they're weightless. He ends up winning with a pump handle slam at the end for the pin. And they celebrate doing the millions of dollars dance.
Yeah, so Batista thinks we're not going to push Titus, and we'll fucking show him.
You know, they have to do this just to make primetime players seem like a more credible threat for New Day, because when they got to the end of the Elimination Chamber, it seemed like they were the next people that were going to fight them. And, you know, they win a match like this, okay, they lose at Money in the Bank. But goddamn, my team sucked tonight.
Could have been worse.
Yeah, but that doesn't make up for it.
All three of them could have gotten fired. Imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah, God, if that fucking happens, I would be so pissed off.
What type of asshole has three guys on his team that gets fired? Oh.
You had two.
Oh, I had two. Right. Drew had the other one. Drew.
We had these advertisement commercials that were like all the wrestlers auditioning to be in a commercial for Sonic Shakes. These were just excellent. I actually really like when they do these unique things with their advertisements. A lot of times they get cheesy and dumb, but every once in a while they do something unique and is fun. Like, man, I think back to like those Adam Rose ones he was doing, where they're just like, hey, drink this stupid fucking lemonade. Whoa, 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 oh, whoa.
The sad part is that was the complexity of the fucking commercials.
Yeah. These were great, though. They were like outtakes of wrestlers doing these auditions for Sonic Shakes. They had the Mega Powers. They had Big Show. They had New Day. All of them were on their game. This was fantastic.
It had some of the charm of when they were doing, and we just spoke about it recently, the, like, they have a table set up and the guys in the roster would try and sell the shit to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
It had that type of feel, and I love those segments, and this reminded me of that.
When they can have fun and promote something, that's fine. When you just have Adam Rose be like, buy this theme song, it's really fucking
See, dumb. It's one thing to go ahead and say, all right, we're going to try and force this laughter. But then when you just go, you know what, guys, you are generally funny guys or funny characters when you need to be, just do that type of thing. Don't try and do a stupid skit. And it worked perfectly. You had, I didn't like the Mega Powers one, but the Big Show one was funny as fuck. He's like, how many flavors you got? Yeah, I'm gonna need one of each of those. Yeah, I'm a method actor. But it was gold. And
it reminds me of what I forget who he was in a match with, but he goes over to the announcer's table and he picks up like a pen and pad and he's like, what? Who wrote Big Show's fat?
Yeah, that was what, that wasn't WrestleMania, that was Extreme that Rules, was, I think.
Yeah, it was the one against Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns, yeah. So, who said I was fat? May 19th? Huh?
May 13th.
May 13th.
Or May 14th.
May 14th? May 14th? How about that, Kane?
But it also depends on where they do this, too. Like, I remember a couple years ago, they had that WrestleMania thing with the, like, the Gordon's Fisherman or whatever with Santino. And that was just fucking terrible. And it's like, you don't eat up WrestleMania time with a stupid promo. That's when you just have the people sit there with the Mountain Dew in the commentary table or the bucket of KFC or something and just go like, hey, look at this, buy this. All right, next match is whatever. You need to get it out of the way in that situation. With this, they had a little bit of fun. And, you know, I genuinely liked this as much as I wouldn't want to admit it to some people.
You know what my favorite advertising wrestling tie-in on the show they ever did was? In 1996, well, yeah, that was awesome, but in 1996 up till I think 1998, every year around the Survivor Series, they were sponsored by karate fighters.
Yes.
Which were kind of like these little like Rock'em Sock'em robots type things, but they were more like karate guys and like ninjas and shit. And you would like fight against each other trying to knock the other person off their post. And they had like a tournament of all these wrestling personalities going against each other. And, you know, because it was karate fighters, you could put anybody against anybody. So you had like Psycho Sid against Marlena and Sonny against Jim Cornette. And it was just fucking awesome. They were so, so fun.
Was it Survivor Series or King of the Ring?
It might have been different each year.
I used to love that, though. And Sonny was always like a big part of it. She was either like hosting it or she was like kicking ass. And
I'm pretty sure she won one year.
I'd have given it to her.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Given the win they were, though, they're clearly like they plan out someone I could have grabbed. But I used to love that. That was great. You know, it was like the other thing that they used to do, the little cheat codes before the tapes. It was like Mortal Kombat codes and stuff like that. Huh, like there was just something a little bit, you know, fun about that. And, you know, when they do a lot of these, they're really terrible. So when they do a good one, it's like, wow, OK, you guys get credit for doing a good one now. The next five are going to be shit, but eventually we'll get another good one. And tonight was one of the good ones. So as lame and ridiculous as it is, it was still funny.
Indeed. So here's our favorite part of the show. Let's talk about the Divas match. Mm. Nikki Bella versus Paige for the Divas title. Big fight feel on this one, eh?
I fucking hated the finish for this match.
They brought back Twin Magic, which they haven't done in years, so it was kind of out of nowhere. I always liked Twin Magic. I mean, it's an old school thing they did with like the ding dongs and the what are they called? The
ring dings,
the bees,
ring kings,
the fabulous bees, or whatever they were called.
Okay, here's my issue with it tonight.
Mm-hmm. You liked it better when Kofi and Xavier did it?
They look different, and I'm not talking about the fucking tits like Sean were. What, for starters, one had their hair up, one had their hair down. One had shiny attire, one didn't.
I think it was similar enough that when you're rolling someone up, it could look the same. I mean, Kofi and Xavier have completely different hair, too.
I say just, like, go with it. Make it a gimmick of Mike Chioda that he can't tell the difference between people and have a match between, say, I don't know, if you do like a King Barrett versus Roman Reigns, have Mark Henry come out and pin them and just be like, oh, I couldn't tell the difference.
I almost wonder if they did do this because maybe they were catching some heat for doing that a few weeks ago. Maybe. They're like, oh no, we do this finish all the time. See, like,
I could see that. Cause I mean, there's no way to go with that Kofi and Xavier one and not be like, that's a little racist, guys. I mean, they kind of like went out of their way not to say it, but
I listened to Stone Cold Steve Austin's review of that pay-per-view, and he danced around it so well.
I know.
he was like, oh, you got Kofi and Xavier who are very similar in physical appearance, so it makes a lot of sense. Wow.
Yeah, he was like, you're bordering that racist line, but
that would have been great if he would have had like some live call-in thing. Somebody would have called in. Yeah, I have a question. Can you elaborate on how similar these two are in appearance? And he'd be like, no. All right, next. it was kind of weird seeing Kyoto like, you know, hand the title to Nikki and look at both of them, just kind of be like, oh, one of you that wasn't here is out here. Wonder when that happened. She's the winner.
They did kind of set that up last night when Nikki won and Brie ran out really fast into the ring and started hugging her and stuff.
True. Yeah. You know what? If you want to try to figure out a way to get around that, that's a good point. Or we could just say that Kyoto is like blind.
I mean, these referees have been the most incompetent professionals in years for a long ass time.
John Coon, I think is his name. The one referee with the dark hair from last night.
That's a referee?
Pretty sure it's John Cohn.
Remember back in the day when we knew all the referees'
names?
Yes,
do you want to know why you knew the referees' names? Because Jim Ross was the commentator.
My God, our Hebner's the fucking referee.
like,
I feel like Gorilla did that too.
Like, I just wish Cole would pick that up. It's a small thing, but let us know who all the little guys are too, because I don't care. It's the referee takes a bump. It's not Earl Hebner took a bump. Why do I care that the referee's hurt? You've got like a factory of them, just pull one off the conveyor belt.
A factory?
See, the only reason I know why John Cohn, what his name is, I mean, some of the other ones that have been around for a while, like Scott Armstrong, you just hear their name enough. John Cohn, though, has like the best gimmick out of everybody. He's the office ref on the JBL and Cole show, where they do like these stupid puns where like he's in the middle of the office or something like that, and like he'll disqualify somebody or something.
Is Little Nate still around?
Yeah.
Isn't he senior referee now?
You know about Charles Robinson?
Yeah, isn't he senior ref now?
He was senior ref, I think, with SmackDown, and Kyoto was senior ref for Raw, so I think that they're both.
You can't have two senior refs.
Yeah.
No, you've got, like, super senior, and then you got senior.
Super senior?
it's like
a combination of like super senior ref and super senior.
Yeah, but they both lose to Kevin Owens. Sad facts.
Mm-hmm. He should get priority because he runs.
Well, Nikki Bella retains this belt. She's going into record-breaking territory holding this title. They said in her interview that she is the longest reigning champion out of all the champions right now, which has been true for a while. I mean, it's not like that just happened last night. But she is, last I looked, she was like the fourth longest reigning Divas champion, possibly even into third by now. And that's worth mentioning more.
Was that just to fuck AJ Lee over?
Well, she has to beat first to do that.
I think
she might do.
I think they'll do it just to fuck AJ Lee. I believe the company's that petty.
Depends on how much time she's got.
I'm not going to lie. The promo that Nikki Bella did earlier when she was being interviewed by Byron Saxton wasn't awful. No thoughts, no disagreements, no agreements?
I really don't care.
I don't know. I mean, I liked how the microphone was able to just float in the air like that. That was cool, but I didn't really like the promo.
Okay, well. Well, if you didn't like that, I'm sure you loved this. Sheamus versus Orton for the bajillionth time. You talk about how many times we've seen Ziggler and Kingston. This match, I feel like we were back in fucking 2010. I tuned completely out. Sheamus ended this match when he attacked Randy Orton with a chair for the disqualification. He continues this horrible beatdown on Orton after the match. And I don't mean horrible as in, like, he looked like he destroyed the guy. I mean, this was, like, comically bad. Like, he just gently threw him into the guardrail, and nothing looked painful throughout this entire thing.
By the way, I just looked it up. Nikki Bella, if she were to pass AJ Lee, she would need practically another 100 days.
It's not that long. It's only 3 months.
Yeah, she can do that.
I don't know. I got a feeling that she's going to drop it after that.
Survivor Series. Survivor Series is not that far.
As far as this beatdown, it definitely did suck. I was not into this at all. And you know what I mean? Partially because I just wasn't into the match, but like, what are these two going to feud now? I don't want to fucking see that.
Well, too bad. This looks like where we're going.
Well, that sucks.
What do you do with either of these guys?
I would have rather had seen Sheamus against Ryback. And Randy Orton, you know what? He sat out for a couple weeks. He could sit out some more.
Wago, anything to add?
Every time I see him now, I just go, ew, he's getting older.
To Orton?
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of gray specks in his beard.
Yeah, every time I see him, I'm like, ew, I remember you when you was young.
And it was weird. They showed that Money in the Bank flashback to, I think it was 2010, actually, and you saw, like, Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett and Sheamus all in the match, and they all looked so young.
I was thinking about that, though. Isn't it weird how there are people that we remember from old, like, WWF days that their entire career was only, like, 3 years or so? Like, Yokozuna. He was not around long at all. And now it's like, that Money in the Bank match was 4 years ago, and it seems like it was yesterday almost. Like, people wrestle now with like a 10-year version of a 5-year career. You know, John Cena's been at the top of this company for 10 years, and it's like, Bret fucking Hart wasn't even like that.
I think these guys end up working a lot longer because the money isn't as good. They need to save it.
I think it's because they're healthier. Money's
better. Yeah, no, I think it's because of the change in style. They're smarter about what they do with themselves.
Now they're able to last a couple more years and not die immediately afterward.
I don't know. I think the money in the Attitude Era must have been bigger. The business they were doing and generating was a lot more.
Sheamus and Roman, it sucks.
The thing is, it's yeah, more it's more comparatively to what was going on in other companies, but you got to consider with inflation and everything, and just the way that they've worked out their contracts. These guys are being paid more these days, and what they get in advertising that they weren't doing back then. They're a publicly traded company. There's more money coming into WWE now than there was back then. Don't be fooled. It's not all about those ratings numbers that hit everything.
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, Sheamus and Orton does suck. We could wrap that up. Rusev gets interviewed by a floating mic. He just touched my heart. This poor sad potato. He says he's broken. Both his foot is broken. His spirit is broken. But he vows that he will get everything that he has lost back.
Big words. Is it bad that I'm actually rooting for him and I actually feel like he's a babyface to me now?
I'm pretty sure that was the intention. I'm not 100% sure, but...
I'm like, yeah, I want to see you treat Lana like shit again, get the U.S. title and insult the country again, and kick the shit out of Cena. Do it, buddy.
Just pat on the back. It's all right, champ.
You'll get him next time.
Little potato.
I actually felt bad for him. He really did well in this segment. And I'm
his accent slipped a little bit too. Like it kind of seemed like I don't know, he's getting a little bit more Americanized or something.
I liked how he seemed all spaced out and he's just kind of like, oh man, my career, my belt, ugh, my girl.
This sucks, bro.
Can't even beat someone up because my leg. Ugh. We set the corner. We set the corner. I feel bad for him. I want to hope he comes back and gets a huge push now.
Me too. I've always believed in Rusev, so now like if they could give him some type of sympathy storyline, I'm totally behind it.
You know what? It doesn't even need to be a sympathy storyline as much as he's had a reset, time to reevaluate himself, and now he's got this list of things to be pissed off about, and now he's got a hit list.
Ah, so a redemption storyline then.
Yes.
Or revenge, even. I always lead a good revenge storyline. That's my favorite storylines in Game of Thrones, so it can be my favorite in wrestling, too.
Rusev versus the Mountain.
Oh, that would be fucking amazing.
The Mountain and the Potato.
I skipped a segment earlier. Roman Reigns had a second match defending his Money in the Bank spot against Mark Henry. Really not much to say there. Roman Reigns wins via countout. Mark Henry attacks him after the match, hits the World's Strongest Slam. And once again, Roman Reigns is told he has to defend it a third time, this time against Bray Wyatt, which was our main event of the night, again with Money in the Bank implications. During the match, Rollins and J&K appear at the top of the ramp during the match. Seth eventually interferes into the match, but accidentally allows Roman to hit the spear on Bray Wyatt for the pin. All of the authority members surround the ring. They're about to attack Roman, but Dean Ambrose comes down for the save, helps fight off the authority, and leaves along with Roman Reigns and still in possession of the WWE title. We fade to black, and that's the night. This was almost felt like a waste of time with the whole Roman Reigns thing they did throughout the night. I guess it showed that he dominantly earned his spot, which is more than you could say for anybody else in the Money in the Bank match. But I'm more intrigued by the Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose thing, and I'm a little suspicious as to what Roman Reigns' motivations are pairing with Dean Ambrose like this. I don't really get what Roman Reigns is getting.
I think it's a way just to get back at the authority, and it makes sense for him and Dean Ambrose to be like that. I mean, they didn't split up when the Shield broke up. It was Seth that's the fucking asshole. They probably both want to bring him down.
Yeah, but doesn't Roman want the title too?
Yeah, but you know what? Would you rather have your friend be the champion for a little bit and then beat your friend? Or would you rather that asshole be the champion and then beat him? I'd rather my friend get the chance for a little bit.
I'd rather beat the asshole up a little bit.
If I know my friend just got fucked by the authority, I want to help him out and let him figure out what he needs to do, and then we'd wrestle for the title. I think it makes sense.
Plus, they already have a thing that they go, well, you know what? Let's fight each other, and the loser buys beers. So they've got that mentality already set it.
Yeah, wouldn't it be cool to own the top of the mountain and just trade your fucking title back between each other and then fucking drink your lumps off?
I'm suspicious. That's all I'm saying. I got my eye on Roman Reigns.
Are you saying that good things can't happen in pro wrestling and all teams are going to break up?
You saying you didn't already have your eye on Roman Reigns with those baby blue eyes?
Sure. Any other thoughts about Raw tonight, fellas?
Not a bad show.
Glad that Bray Wyatt showed up but lost. I said earlier in our chat that I was kind of digging no Bray Wyatt for a while, but he did fine. The reason I didn't want to see him was because I didn't want to go through another feud that was like a bunch of nonsense that led nowhere.
Or like a 3-minute aimless promo.
Exactly. That's what I didn't want to see. And I figured that this could be a night where they would have set something up like that, you know, have him come out and just be like, I should be talking about being in the Money in the Bank match, but here's this theory about dragons and here's this other thing that's going on. And if you, I don't know, if you take a kid and you bring him out back and you show him an alligator, then that's what fear is or something. Like he never fucking makes any sense. That's what I would picture his fucking promo to be. But I didn't want to see that. And having him just come out, wrestle a match and lose, you know, perfectly fine with that. So,
you know, it's funny. I know there's certain people that are going to be complaining, oh my God, fucking Bray Wyatt got buried. He couldn't beat Roman Reigns, even though he wrestled 2 matches. And I'm just sitting there going, Wyatt lost.
And he also lost because of interference from somebody else.
And he lost to Roman Reigns. Like, he didn't lose to Zack Ryder. You know.
Yeah, Roman Reigns is a guy that was on par with Lesnar, so it's not that bad, big of a deal if you lose to him.
Right.
And retrospectively, Bray Wyatt should have lost to Ryback.
He should have.
True that.
And he should have had some kind of a reason to feud with Ryback. Except for that time, he should have been an alligator or whatever.
Actually, why the fuck did Bray Wyatt beat Ryback? Ryback could have used this win going into the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck?
What is Bray Wyatt doing now?
Illusion to Roman Reigns.
New face of fear, man.
I was out catching fireflies or something. Man. Remember when I used to sing?
Alright, let's wrap this up with the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the part of the show that you need to avoid at all costs. So let me ask you guys, your good, bad, and ugly. Wago.
Man, there wasn't too much in the way of ugly tonight. So if I had to give it anything, I'd give it to the fact that they're fucking audio issues at the beginning of the show were fucking terrible. Kevin Dunn, follow your teeth down.
That was your Judd?
That was my Judd. No, that was my bad.
Your Judd Apatow.
Yeah, that was my ugly. That was it.
Your Judd, the good, and
the bad goes to the Divas finish, and the good goes to Triple H's fucking rendition of Mark Henry's theme.
Tony.
Oh, right. My Judd is I have two goods. It's Triple H's somebody going to get their wig split, which was not expecting that, and that's always fucking great. Like you said, whenever Triple H is like having fun with something random, it's always great. You know, when he did that little thing where it was like, oh, my friend Mark is complaining and whatever, like you can tell that he's having a ball, and you know, I enjoy it a lot more. And just the idea that like there was that old Cena thing where he was singing Cody Rhodes' theme backstage.
And what?
Yeah, there goes Cody Rhodes. Like, now I'm just gonna picture fucking Triple H. Somebody gonna get a wig split. Just kind of doing that backstage. That's amazing. The other good though is definitely Nick Shakes. That was fucking great. The bad I'm gonna have to give to the fact that these referees can't tell the difference between people on the roster. They hang around them all the time. You guys should be able to look. Bad. The ugly though is the microphone feedback in the opening segment, because that was really bad. And just if I would have been looking at that, and if that would have happened in TNA, we would have been making even more jokes about it. So we got to make jokes about it with WWE. We got to be fair. But of course, with WWE, they fixed it in the first segment. With TNA, they would have kept
Here's
that
the thing. If TNA had audio issues, they'd not only have a fucked up sound, but they'd have sound from somebody else's show.
Have you guys ever gone back and watched the very first TNA pay-per-view, which was also the first TNA event, but it was back when all their events were pay-per-view?
God, why would I want to do that?
It's actually hilarious. If you watch the show as they're going on live, you actually see ring crew inside the ring scrambling to fix something. And the story behind this is that they had a dark match that they had before the event went live. They had some super fat guy in the match, and he broke the top rope of the ring before they went live.
Oh,
so
my
like,
God.
As the pyro and everything is going live, the ring crew is like scrambling to replace the top rope.
That's
if
a good omen.
Yeah, if that isn't the ultimate symbolism of TNA, I don't know what is. Did you finish your good, bad, and ugly? I got lost there.
Yep.
Okay, I'll do my good, bad, and ugly. My good, I am actually going to give to John Cena for the calling out of the kid with cancer. I thought that was very heartwarming. And good on you, Cena. Bad, I'm going to give to the New Day matches. They were horrendous. I'm sorry. They were
the
definition of filler, and I don't want to watch it. Ugly, talking about something I really don't want to watch, Sheamus and Orton. Holy fuck. First off, we've seen this match a million times, and that beatdown afterwards was just horrendous. Some of them I'll take out of the chat room here. Silent with the Doom says the New Day Sonic commercial, even Kofi didn't get any shakes. What? Oh yeah, Kofi never got a shake, did he?
Yeah, what the fuck? I'm hoping like the extra shakes are at least one of them to him.
That was the trade-off. He'll be in the Money in the Bank match. They get the shakes.
The bad both face and heel announcers praising Nikki Bella, WTF. We have a heel announcer?
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Booker? JBL's a tweener.
Booker when he gets all hood.
Booker T's just offensive.
Yeah. JBL will once in a while side with a heel, but for the most part, he's definitely babyface still. Or a tweener. But ugly, you don't have to walk to Sonic. You can drive in. Michael Cole.
What? That was his terrible segue, I think. Which he even said, that's the only segue I had.
Yeah, I must have missed that. But must need it in context. Happy Pope, our good friend Sean Walker, says, good, cancer kid in the crowd. Not just that the cancer kid was in the crowd. That's the good. Okay. Bad that the kid has cancer. I'm not reading that ugly. God damn it, Sean.
What do you think is going to happen? That's so ugly.
Mr. Carter, also host of the show, Drew White, says, good, the big guy, the bad Kevin Dunn, and ugly Bo Dallas's face still.
Do you want to mention what Caroline thought about Bo Dallas?
What is it? He's like, oh, no, we're not saying that either. all right, well, with that, guys, we're going to start closing things out here. I'm going to give the hosts just a few moments, and if you could give them those few moments as well to hear what they got to say about other stuff they're doing to check out that's going on. Tony, what's good?
Speaking of moments, Smarkout Moment. Ah, there's a better segue, Michael Cole. Smarkoutmoment.com is my wrestling website. We do the podcast Smack Talk on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.com/SmarkoutMoment. Some other podcasts you guys might be interested in are the All Talk Show. That's iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.com/AllTalkShow. We do that live on MegapowersRadio.com at random. So if you follow the Facebook account, that's when we will alert you when we're going to do one. And check out FanboysAnonymous.com, the sister website for all things geek culture related. And you can check out the podcast there on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.com/FanboysAnonymous.
Way go.
You guys done?
I would have kept going. Go ahead.
All right. So check out all my projects that I got going on. You can follow me on the Twitter at SteWago. That's STEWAGO. Check out Wago Rants. You can find that on StephenWago.com, YouTube, and on iTunes.
All right, folks. Well, I should first promote a new show that we got going on. If you like listening to us review Raw, you could hear us now reviewing NXT. We've had a lot of requests for this, for us to talk more about the developmental show on the WWE Network, and now we're going to be doing this every single week. Check it out. It's called the Next Gen Podcast. That's right, the Next Gen Podcast. We already have a Facebook and a Twitter page. You can follow us on there. We are currently uploading those episodes onto the Mega Powers Radio YouTube channel, so if you're already subscribed onto the YouTube channel, you're already going to be getting them in your feed. Coming soon to iTunes and Stitcher, so you'll be able to get it there as well. So hey, if you dig NXT, or if you're curious about what NXT is like and you like hearing us, find that. Subscribe. Check it out. And if you enjoyed this show, join us every single week following Raw. We are live here on MegaPowersRadio.com for the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We also are available in archive form on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, and SmartGoutMoment.com. While you're listening to us there, please rate us, review us, help us climb the charts, help other people find us. Invite your friends if they are wrestling fans, or maybe if they just like listening to a bunch of jerks make fun of other things, they might enjoy this show. Until next week, folks. This has been the Raw Post Show for Tony Mango, Steven Wago. I'm Mike Payton. Till next week.